5.
You are really seeing the most extraordinary finish here.
4.
I swear you'll never see anything like this ever again.
3.
Richard!
Oh, my goodness.
Goodness gracious me.
2.
Oh, yes!
1.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 15 of the Live in 5 podcast. Colin and I are both coming off very, very happy weekends. Colin, how are you doing today?
Doing fantastic. 3 points is always a good thing.
Absolutely. So, Colin, what is on the slate for today's episode?
So, basically, first we're going to talk a little bit about our fantasy, our first week of fantasy, which went, I'd say, fairly well for the both of us. Didn't do over the top amazing. Neither of us finished first, but obviously neither of us ended up in that dreaded forfeit spot. Then we're going to go ahead and just cover some of the week's fixtures, talk about Leicester's collapse, talk about how Man City got bailed out a little bit at the end, talk about how Chelsea kind of got bailed out at the end as well, talk about the 7-goal thriller between Arsenal and Liverpool, and obviously the new Man United team and how well they did this week. So we're going to go ahead and start it off with fantasy this week. And John, how did you do in our first TR fantasy week?
Well, as you know, you and I are in that league with several other members of the stream team. Unfortunately, I did not do so hot. I was able to just dodge having to do the forfeit, thanks to Eden Hazard scoring a penalty on Monday. He was my highest performer, and I forgot to captain him. He got me 10 points, and I did accidentally start Andre Gray as my captain, and he just he got the basic 4 points, and that's for 2 points for playing 65 minutes plus the double captain bonus. I also didn't wake up in time to see Romelu Lukaku did not start, so that was a bit of a mistake as well.
Yep. Well, it ended up Seb ended up winning the week, which was a little strange, but my team played pretty well. We finished second this week. Zlatan was my captain. He ended up scoring, so right there. Ended up with 18 points, I think. And between him and Martial having 11 points and the points being spread out pretty well throughout the rest of my team, my Man United bias actually ended up paying off better than my Leicester, what I thought they were going to do against Hull City. Because Hull City came in and beat the defending champions 2-1.
Yeah, absolute shocker, really. I know we went over predictions last week, and that was probably the safest bet was to bet on Leicester, and that obviously didn't pan out. So,
yeah, Hull City did something that not a lot of teams did last year. They treated Leicester like a big team, and they kind of let Leicester play in front of them instead of, you know, obviously Leicester love to get over the top, get in behind with their fast-pacey players. You know, Mahrez and Vardy are both still there. Conte obviously being only the big loss this season. And it just seemed like everyone was basically saying that Hull City was going to lose, which meant they could only win that game.
Yep.
So moving on, we have Pep Guardiola's new reign taking over there at Man City. It really didn't look too good for his debut against Sunderland, a team favored to be battling with relegation this season, until the very end of the game. I believe it was 88th minute until the former Manchester United man, Paddy McNair, ended up putting it into his own net. You gotta say that was kind of lucky for them.
Yes, it definitely wasn't the start we expected to Pep's regime there in Manchester. You know, John Stones, their big money signing, made a key mistake. They obviously were the beneficiaries of Patrick Van Aanholt giving up a penalty, which also hurt me in fantasy. Yeah, but they looked very, very, very unconvincing.
You put a more convincing left back there, I've got to say, and that game probably ends up 1-1, if not 1-0 to Sunderland. And it's kind of crazy to still see Jermaine Defoe scoring goals.
Yes, he's seemingly ageless, and I wouldn't be surprised if 10 years from now, on Live in 5, episode 642, we're still talking about Jermaine Defoe.
Yeah, the kid's scoring goals for the Black Cats still. He's definitely going to be key if Sunderland are going to want to stay up this season. The only other storyline there, obviously, is Joe Hart being dropped. All the rumors going around right now are that Joe Hart is going to be transferred. He's going to be moved on either to Sevilla or Everton or maybe even Liverpool. Do you think, first of all, do you think he would fit at any of those clubs, or do you think he should stay there and try and win his place back? Because obviously there are transfer rumors going around about them looking at Ter Stegen, looking at like different goalkeepers to possibly replace him, because obviously Caballero's not good enough to be the starting goalkeeper there.
Well, I certainly don't see him leaving England. I just don't think that'll happen. English talent tends to usually stay in the Premier League. So that just leaves Everton and Liverpool. You know, and despite how bad Mignolet seems to be, he always seems to pull shit out of his ass, and it's just unbelievable sometimes. So I'm going to say Everton. You know, he would be a good fit there. They just lost Tim Howard. They're in need of a goalkeeper. And Joe Hart could very easily be that guy. However, you know, Joe Hart has won titles in Manchester. He's a proven goalkeeper, and Caballero is getting up there in age for sure.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't even know if Hart would take that ego hit though. Doesn't he seems like almost like a cocky player? I don't know if he would see himself as moving down to a level of Everton where a lot of people are predicting them to finish outside of the European places this season. Well, moving on to that club that we were just talking about, Everton, they ended up playing Tottenham this week, which seemed like the big game there on Saturday. And it ended up a 1-1 draw, which is actually what I think I predicted 2-2, but I that just looked like an early season matchup between two teams who one is still trying to find their way under Ronald Koeman, who I think is a great managerial signing, by the way, and between Tottenham, who's probably still reeling slightly, you know, in their mentality from dropping the title last season.
Yeah, I mean, even without Romelu Lukaku, Everton played pretty well, and I honestly think they deserve to win that game. I remember Ross Barkley had a chance just before half, and he wasn't able to put it away. But yeah, it took a somewhat lucky Eric Lamela goal, I believe. But yeah, I think Everton should have won that game. But I think looking back, I think they'll be satisfied to take a point there.
Yeah, at the end of the season, I think they'll be happy. Also, the one thing that worried me is, in the absence of Romelu Lukaku, they started Gerard Deulofeu up there. Now, I love Deulofeu. I think he's a really, really good player. But is he a striker? Like, do they not have any backup forwards? I know Aruna Kone was kind of their backup guy last season, but he was nowhere to be seen. It's just a little worrying that in the absence of Lukaku, that is their backup striker, is Deulofeu. Because Barkley can't play up there. You know, Morales can't play up there. Like, those are wingers. Like, they're, you know, they're, like, inside forwards at best. But they are not, like, lead-the-line strikers. So if they lose Lukaku, like, bad things could happen there. Especially after losing Stones, who, although he was really unconvincing at the end of last season, like, he didn't look like the young gem that everyone was raving about. But I don't know. Everton, it could go either way. Because Koeman's great. I love Koeman. He did great work at Southampton, and I think he can really lead this team to challenging for the top seven. But, you know, if they lose Lukaku, I just don't see where those 20 to 30 goals are going to come from this season.
Yeah, it's definitely got to be a scary thought for Everton fans. I know they're gonna pull in big money when they do end up selling Lukaku, if it does go through. But it's, you know, the window's kind of closing. So they're going to have to get something done pretty quickly.
And now moving on, we've got a couple of smaller games that we can cover just real quickly. We had Swansea City taking on Burnley. Burnley with a rude awakening coming into this game, figuring out what Premier League football is all about and taking the 1-0 loss to Swansea.
Yeah, with Burnley, there wasn't anybody to put the chances away. They definitely created chances. It was overall a really slow, kind of boring game, not the one you would advertise the Premier League with. It's a decent result for Swansea. I know I picked them to get relegated, so it's good for them to start off with 3 points. But yeah, I think I just think Burnley needs to finish their chances, really.
Yeah, both of those teams might be staring relegation in the face with how they looked that game. Moving on, this is a game that I think a lot of people had pegged an easy win for Stoke City. They're playing Middlesbrough, but a lot of these players that they brought in played really well. Negredo played well. Victor Fisher played well. Middlesbrough is not going to be a pushover this season.
Yeah, no, not at all.
And Stoke, obviously, you know, coming back, they still have all those top quality players, and they should be challenging for the top half this season, but we'll just have to see. I think a lot of these teams obviously are still, you know, feeling out the Premier League again, getting kind of back into their groove, and I think we'll see some good stuff from players like Arnautovic and Bojan and Shaqiri moving forward. Now, moving on, we had the Tony Pulis derby, and that was West Brom versus Crystal Palace. Basically just set pieces on set pieces there. West Brom finally putting it away. But the big storyline, I think, coming out of this one is Crystal Palace with a Bolasie leaving.
Yeah,
and going to Everton.
I mean, now, didn't Bolasie even play in that game? Yes.
It's looking likely, though.
He did play in that game, and that transfer actually went through, I believe, the day after or something. So that game was really, watching it, you knew the Everton rumors were out there. It kind of just looked like a Yannick Bolasie funeral, really.
Yeah. I mean, they paid $30 million for him. Now tell me, is Yannick Bolasie really worth $30 million? You think about other players that have been picked up for around that amount, for even less than that amount, this transfer window, and it just doesn't seem like he's really worth $30 million to me.
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, I've always thought that Yannick Bolasie was one of those players that you use in FIFA because he has 5-star skills. But then other than that, he doesn't really accomplish much, really. So,
yeah, he's one of those players that's just really inconsistent as well.
Yep.
He can do a couple of insane things, maybe 2 or 3 games in a row, and then just drops off the face of the earth for a couple of games, which I feel like is not what Everton needed at all. And also, I didn't feel like that was where they needed reinforcement. You know, you sell debatably your best center back, and then you buy a left winger / striker, but I guess he's led the line for Crystal Palace before, so, you know, we were talking about Everton losing Lukaku, possibly Bolasie could lead the line, but that's not a team that's going to finish in the top 10 for me.
Yeah.
Moving on, the last game of Saturday was Southampton versus Watford. Deeney and Ighalo looking decent in that game. Deeney looking like bigger, like he's actually beefed up during the summer, which is crazy. But other than that, pretty boring 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I don't really have much to say on that. Watford played the last 15 minutes with a red card. So I think they might have been a bit lucky to hang on to it there. However, I think a 1-1 draw is pretty fair.
Yeah. Now on Sunday, I should say, we had two rather big games.
Yes,
we had United with the debuts that were handed to Zlatan and Eric Bailly in the Premier League. Now, Zlatan Ibrahimovic has scored in his debuts for pretty much every single one of his clubs in the league. The question was he going to be able to do it for Man United? And the answer is yes. The man is consistent. He is a goal scorer. He is there to score goals. He's in Manchester to score goals. He's in Manchester to win titles.
Slow down.
I mean, the man scores a goal from 27, 28 yards in his first game. I've got to say, the team looked decent. First half, obviously, we started slowly. Not the best. We kind of got lucky with the Juan Mata goal. They kind of bounced off of Boric and then off of their defender and then just dropped straight to Mata. But other than that, we created some really good chances in the second half. Bournemouth didn't look as good as they did last season. Callum Wilson had a couple of chances, and then Adam Smith actually scored a really good goal. Adam Smith, that right back, scored a hell of a goal last season as well that I think was in the running for goal this season. But I was pretty confident after that game. I mean, you've still got Pogba and Mkhitaryan to come into the starting lineup, and for us to still win comfortably 3-1, I think is good signs for us.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how Zlatan's doing in a month's time. Obviously, like you would know, Di Maria had a pretty decent start in Manchester as well, and we all know how that ended up. However, Zlatan is a proven striker. He's done it in every league he's ever been in. So I don't think he'll carry on with a goal a game pace, obviously, but I think he could finish the season with about 20 or so.
I think he's a decently safe bet for fantasy as well. I think he's always involved. You saw his flick on for Rooney's chance. Rooney should have stuck that one away. It should have been 4-1 right there with the crazy back heel, but he's just always going to be involved in that attack. obviously he doesn't move around a lot, so he's not exactly going to get fatigued as much. So I think he'll play the full 90 quite a bit. But hopefully we get to see more of like Rashford get integrated. I know he came on in the second half. Hopefully Mkhitaryan comes into the second lineup or into the starting lineup. But one big question that kind of looms is, Where does Juan Mata go? Because he started this game, he scored a goal, but Jose Mourinho and him have a really bad history. They do not like each other, and he's in a position like his starting position is on that right wing where Mkhitaryan's obviously going to be favored, and he can't go on the left because that's Martial's position. Can't really fill into the midfield because there's a lot of players that are in front of him there. So basically, you have to ask yourself is where does Juan Mata fit into the starting lineup when everyone's healthy?
I mean, about a month ago, it was almost a certainty that he would be leaving, right? He'd be off to Everton. That was rumored pretty heavily. I think Juan Mata is one of those players who would start under just about any other manager. However, he is a United. He and Mourinho, as you said, don't really get along. I still see Juan Mata leaving. I don't know who he would go to, but he eventually, as the season moves on, he's just going to get less and less playing time.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously started his career, you know, shining in Spain with Real Oviedo and clubs like that. I just think that maybe he needs to move back to Spain. I mean, but he just seems so happy in England, you know? Maybe that's just because he's a happy guy. I mean, he seems like one of the nicest guys in
the
league.
He's making money.
But I mean, yeah, but it doesn't even seem like that matters so much to him. I'm not sure, but... if you can get a player like Bolasie for 30 million, you know, if a Premier League club can pick up Juan Mata for 30 or 40 million, then I think that'll be good business for both clubs, in my opinion. Now the big question is, obviously we thought Pogba was going to be able to start in this game versus Bournemouth. He's healthy, but the problem was is the FA carried over a suspension from the Coppa Italia last season. Now moving in to next week, where obviously Manchester United is going to be facing Southampton on Friday. That's going to be the early game. Do you think that he's going to fit into this team well? I mean, the team seemed to gel pretty well, but obviously we did start Fellaini. So I think having, you know, a Herrera and Pogba midfield could be beautiful.
Honestly, how about the thought of a Fellaini-Pogba midfield, though? That would be just absolutely incredible. I had United fans on Twitter tweet me saying that they were actually disappointed that Fellaini had a good game. That kind of just shows the fans' feelings towards him. I also just want to mention, I don't know if anybody from the FA is listening, but I love Friday afternoon games. They're great. You did like 5 or 6 of them last year. Let's try to put one every week this year. That'd be great. but yeah, I think it should be a pretty easy 3 points. Obviously there's going to be a whole lot of hype around Pogba's debut. Yeah, and we'll just have to see how it goes.
Yeah, it's just a question if he's going to be like Zlatan and kind of hit the ground running, maybe score a goal. But I think he'll be consistent from the beginning. I don't think he's going to be a world beater from day one, but I think he's going to be consistent and hopefully fill into this team seamlessly and just, you know, make this team the dream team that everyone expects it to be. Now, moving on, we had the most exciting game of the week by far. I think I looked at this game. I might have even predicted a 2-2 draw for this as well, I think.
I did as well, yeah.
Yeah, because I thought there was going to be goals in this game. Two teams coming in with very porous defenses. Alberto Moreno still starts at left back for Liverpool, so obviously there are going to be goals there. Arsenal had Koscielny out, had Mertesacker out, and had Gabriel out. So they started Rob Holding, who is the center back from, I believe, Bolton that they purchased for £2.5 million, and Callum Chambers, who seems like they signed him as a young English prospect 5 years ago and is still there.
He's been around
and doesn't
for a
seem
bit.
To
he
as
doesn't
a, yet
really break into the roster ever.
Doesn't seem to have developed as he probably should have there. So it was really just a question of who could score more here.
Yep, it's always nice watching Arsenal drop points at the beginning of the season. Just makes me smile, really. That was a very, very exciting game, though. He kind of thought that Liverpool would run away with it once Coutinho had that second one. First of all, Coutinho is just is incredible, honestly. Like, he seemed to expand his game a bit, you know. With Coutinho, we kind of always see him as, like, the guy who takes long shots at the edge of the 18, and they go in every once in a while, but he seems to be more of a well-rounded player now. He's on the set pieces. We saw him score that nice free kick, and then he got into the box and was able to fight off the defender and tap it in. So, yeah, Coutinho is a really, really bright spot for Liverpool, and I wouldn't honestly be surprised to see him make it into the BPL team of the year. Moving on, Arsenal's defense was terrible. They did kind of pull it back late, which kind of made it exciting. However, I'm sure Liverpool fans are quite excited with the thought of scoring four times. Obviously, Mane on his debut was able to get a goal. Lallana, who a lot of us usually sleep on, was also able to get a goal. And Arsenal just really need a striker, right? I mean, Vardy's re-signed. There's rumors Lacazette is going to end up staying at Lyon. And Theo Walcott, though he was able to score, he's not a striker, let's face it.
Yeah, he's just not. And I've got to ask, who put Theo Walcott on penalty duties?
Oh, God.
That was just horrendous. Perfect height for the keeper. Mignolet pulled out a decent save, but you've just got to do better. I know it's the whole, sometimes clubs like to do the win the penalty, take the penalty thing, but you had other players on that pitch that could have stuck that away, but obviously they're still suffering from some injuries. Ramsey being a big miss for them that game. Obviously all those center backs being out, and I was confused because Giroud should have been able to play that game. He should have been able to start that game, and I think they would have performed better for it. But like you said, Liverpool looked good. Their defense, obviously, they need a left back, absolutely no doubt. Their second goal, or their that Walcott goal, was Moreno's fault. The penalty was Moreno's fault. It's just, he is literally just full of mistakes.
He's shit. Let's just say it. I mean,
that brings to mind why they got rid of John Flanagan for the amount that they did, because there's no way John Flanagan could have done worse at left back. Yep. I mean, there's just no way. But you know, you've heard rumors they're looking at a couple different left backs. They were looking at Ben Chilwell earlier from Leicester, who's younger. But I think at this point they've got to find a starter. They might even have to find two left backs, because obviously Jose Enrique is not gonna ever play for Liverpool again, most likely, and it just doesn't look good for young Moreno. I think he needs to probably move back to Spain, where he can get a little bit more freedom, because he just absolutely ignores his defensive duties so much. But Mane was really impressive, I thought. His individual goal was just unbelievable. Cuts inside of like three defenders, cuts across another one, and then absolutely drills it with his left foot to the top corner. So I don't know. The other thing I would say is we're still going to be watching that goalkeeper battle between Karius and Mignolet. Karius obviously was injured for that game, and that's why he didn't end up starting over Mignolet. But obviously any game you let in three goals isn't a game you're going to be particularly fond of, exactly, but yeah. I think that game was always going to be full of goals. Yeah. And I don't think that these are going to be the teams that you're going to see, you know, a month or two into the season, because obviously Sturridge didn't feature for Liverpool. Obviously, Arsenal's still working with, I would say, 60% squad right now. And if Arsenal fans have their way, hopefully they'll sign another player, but it just doesn't look like Wenger wants to. So,
yeah, they're just they have all this money that they're just scared to spend for some reason. So,
I mean, they're sitting on it. Everyone's done the math. Accountants have done the figures. There's hundreds of millions of dollars sitting in their banks, and they just don't want to spend it for some reason. But yeah, Liverpool off to a great start this season. It's always good to see Klopp get excited, lose his glasses, just be happy. But moving on to the final game, a game that you were very heavily invested in. The game on Monday, Chelsea versus West Ham. John, talk to us.
Big 3 points. They cut it close. Obviously, it took an 88th minute Diego Costa goal from just outside the box to seal it for us. Some questionable refereeing, really. I thought there was arguably about two penalty calls, and then for Chelsea, and then one for West Ham. Of course, that West Ham penalty dispute was also the same sequence that Collins scored. Collins, dude, the Welsh. We need a name for him. It's just ridiculous, that strike, really. The Welsh Maldini. Yep, that's what we're calling. Sure. Okay, yeah. That was their only shot on target the whole game, though. Obviously, Payet came on, and they did have their debut player, IU, go off really early with an injury, I think the 20th minute or so. I think Chelsea overall deserved to win that game, not biased or anything. They had more possession, more shots on target. Hazard seemed to play really well. During that stretch where it was 1-1, though, and they did sub off Hazard, I was kind of worried we were settling for the draw. Moses actually made his first appearance for Chelsea in quite some time. You know, he seems to always go out on loan. Batshuayi got the assist on the Costa goal. Overall, I'm really happy. N'Golo Kante played pretty well despite the yellow card. Maybe just converting our chances, I think, is what we need to work on next week.
Did it not worry that you left it so late against a team at home that you should be beating? I don't know. I know West Ham's a great team, obviously, and you guys didn't perform as you probably should have last season. And also, did you see any like noticeable differences from the first game under Conte and between last season when you guys weren't playing so well?
Yeah, it seems like we're not afraid to go out and get possession and hold the ball. You know, last year it seemed as if we were comfortable letting the other team have the ball and then playing off the counter. This year we definitely like to go at them. Conte definitely provides that defensive force in the midfield. It seems like he has 8, 9, or 10 legs out there with some of the challenges he makes. It's just ridiculous, really. So yeah, I've definitely seen his style of play different. Matic gets to push forward a bit more, which maybe I don't necessarily want, but when Fabregas returns, he would definitely probably slide into that place because Conte is so sound defensively.
Yeah, and obviously they ended up playing four at the back that game. I don't think that they had a solid... I don't think he had a solid three center backs that he probably was comfortable with. And so the big transfer rumor right now for Chelsea is that Dave, who obviously Cesar Azpilicueta...
Dave.
who started on the left... Who, like, has played on the left and the right for you guys at fullback. They're thinking about bringing in Jonas Hector, the left back who's been starting for Germany most recently, a solid player, thinking about bringing him in and then shifting Azpilicueta to the right-hand side. Were you comfortable when you saw Dave on the right, or do you prefer him on the left side?
Actually, I'd really prefer Dave on the right. Dave's one of those weird breeds where he is he plays left back, but he's right-footed. Usually you'd want a left-footed player at left back. So yeah, Dave is actually naturally a right back, and that would mean if we get to move him to the right, that Ivanovic would probably get dropped out of the 11, which wouldn't bother me whatsoever. But Azpilicueta is a very, very solid defender in his unnatural position, so it's really it's a good thought to see him switch over to his natural side and just see how much better he can get.
And then one last thing I'll ask you about Chelsea. Obviously, last week we spoke about Mahrez.
Yes.
And it looked like Mahrez was all but signed. But now, Mahrez, I think it was yesterday, signed a new contract through 2020 with Leicester. How do you react to that?
You know, it would have been nice to sign Mahrez. It would have been other than Conte, our biggest signing of the summer. However, you know, you look at it, and winger's not really a position we need. Unless you switch Willian to the center of the park. So it's not so much of a disappointment, really. It was just an idea that could maybe happen. However, it's not that much of a loss, really.
All right, well, now that we're done with this week's games, we're going to go ahead and move into week two of the Premier League. We're going to throw some predictions down, see what we think, just cover it maybe a quick 10, 15-minute segment, and then we'll go ahead and get out of here. But into week two, obviously, we mentioned the early game. That's going to be Man United versus Southampton, a team that United is actually rumored to be purchasing a player from soon. Obviously, there's a deal on the table, supposedly, between United and Southampton, with Rojo going one way and a part exchange for Jose Fonte, who was debatably one of the best center backs in the league last year. Yeah,
played
well for Portugal in the Euros. Solid player, obviously not, you know, one for the future, would probably get 2 to 3 years out of, but I think it would be good to have an older, you know,
experienced
veteran player. Yeah, exactly, experienced player from the Premier League in our back line, because obviously our back line's pretty inexperienced, and when it's not inexperienced, it's still young, because obviously Smalling's probably the most experienced player back there.
I think the key word in that statement is proven. You know, you see all these big money signings of center backs like Mangala, who end up coming to England and just being trash. However, Jose Fonte is very, very proven. He has shown himself to be a very strong center back. He's obviously what he made FIFA-wise. He made team of the season a couple years ago. Yeah, but Fonte would be a great signing for you guys. Obviously, get rid of Rojo. Yeah.
Yeah, Rojo's got a little bit of that Moreno syndrome, and I think as well, where when he's in left back, he pushes up a little bit too much, gives away a lot of dangerous fouls, and when he plays at center back, he hasn't been particularly impressive. Obviously a solid FIFA card, but not a solid player in real life. My prediction for this one, obviously with Mkhitaryan and Pogba rumored to make their debuts, I think that playing at home, our first home game of the season, everyone's going to want to impress. You know, Mkhitaryan's going to want to take people on. Pogba's going to want to bust his ass. I think everyone's going to be up for this game, and I think this could be a blowout. Obviously, I know Southampton has a solid defense, but I think a 3-1, possibly a 4-1 could be in store.
Yeah, I mean, I already touched on it earlier. I think I'm going to say 3-0 to Manchester United, and Dickie Jones and company are going to be running through the streets naked, screaming with joy.
All right, now moving on to Saturday. The early game is two teams who didn't perform as well as they probably would have wanted to in their first week. It's going to be Manchester City versus Stoke City. Man City going to Stoke to see if they can do it on a cold, windy night in Stoke. We'll see, because all these new signings didn't play particularly impressive in their debuts for Man City last week. But I could see this. I could see Stoke easily taking points here.
Yeah, I could see that as well. I think Man City is going to leave it late yet again. I'm going to go with 2-1, just like it was against Sunderland.
Now, I feel like in recent years, Stoke has been a bit of a bogey team for Man City. I feel like Stoke's picked up a couple results against them in years past. I remember a 1-0 where Mamy Birim-Diouf had the only goal for them for Stoke. I think that they're going to do it again. I can see a 2-1 for Stoke City, possibly with Shaqiri free kick going late. Now, moving on, John, we have your team, Chelsea. They're taking on a pretty tough opponent again this week in Watford. Obviously, Ighalo and Deeney, pretty solid strikers. Do you think you're going to be able to handle that strike force, or do you think it's going to be a comfortable one?
I think it'll be comfortable, to be honest. I'm going to say 2-0 to Chelsea. Hopefully Hazard can continue his form. He scored in the last several games of last season for Chelsea, and he was able to get a goal in the first game of this season. I'm going to say 2-0. Hopefully Hazard scores, and hopefully maybe N'Golo Kante. He only scored one goal last year. However, I think he might get his first one for Chelsea.
Now, I don't have a lot of faith in Chelsea. Obviously, everyone knows that. Okay. They've seen my predictions. So I think I'm going to say this one's going to be a 1-1 draw for Watford v. Chelsea. Watford at home, going to want to impress their home fans on their home debut. But obviously, like John said, it could be comfortable for Chelsea, so I could be full of shit. Moving on, we have... thanks. We have Tottenham versus Crystal Palace. Tottenham going to be hosting Alan Pardew's men. How do you think this one's going to go? Obviously, no Bolasie. Is there no hope?
No Bolasie, no hope. I mean, usually I say no Alcidor, no hope. Crystal Palace obviously never had God on their team. So yeah, I'm going to say Spurs 2-0. Spurs are finally going to get going. Harry Kane's going to get on the score sheet. He's going to return from the Euros, really. And yeah, I'm going to say 2-0 to Spurs.
Yeah, I'm gonna also predict a win here for Tottenham. I'm probably going to say 3-0. Crystal Palace also just lost Mile Jedinak, who just transferred to Villa, so I don't think that's going to make their midfield any more solid. But yeah, I think it's going to be comfortable, and I think Crystal Palace could be struggling here in the early days of their season. Now, we had two teams who, you know, probably could be pretty happy with their first weeks. Everton picking up their 1-1 draw, facing off against West Brom, who obviously picked up their 1-0 win against Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I'm going to say Everton's going to get it done this week. Obviously, we did talk about their lack of striker. We don't really know if Lukaku's going to play. I'm going to say 1-0 to Everton.
Now, I've got to say this one might be close, might be a bit of a cagey battle. Everton is probably going to want to go at West Brom. West Brom's not going to really want to go at Everton, so it might be two teams canceling each other out. But I could see Everton picking up a 2-1 victory here against West Bromwich Albion. Now, moving on to the next game, Swansea City got a really easy beginning slate here, apparently, because they have Hull City in week two after getting Burnley, two straight promoted clubs. Do you think Hull City continues their odd run of form, or do you think Swansea City is going to keep trying to make sure that they don't get relegated?
Well, shit, Hull's going to be playing European football next season. Just kidding, I'm going to say 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I think Hull is going to pick up a win here. And this is my reasoning why. I think coming in, they're a decently strong team. I think that they can be solid. But big but here is they're going to tire really quickly. That squad is tiny. I think at the beginning of the season, they had 13 to 14 fit players, as I said last week. And I think that after this week, it's going to start not looking good. Probably around Christmas is when this team's going to start to fade. And, you know, some people have talked about lowest points total ever for this team. And, you know, I don't think it's going to be quite that, but I don't think they're going to be good come Christmas time. Now, moving on, we have a game that looks like it could get ugly. A team that scored 4 goals this week is playing a team that scored 0 goals and lost to Swansea City. So that's Liverpool versus Burnley FC.
Yeah, unlucky, really. I think Burnley's going to take a loss again. I think it's going to be bad as well. I'm going to say 3-0 to Liverpool.
Yeah, I could see Liverpool really strutting their stuff in this game. Burnley did pick up a new signing, Stephen Defoe. He picked up a team of the season this season, which means obviously he had a good season in FIFA. The young Belgian's going to go into center midfield for Burnley, but I don't think it's going to be enough. I think it's going to be 5-1 to Liverpool. Now, this is the big one, the big game of the week. Defending champions versus defending runners-up. It's going to be Leicester City at home to Arsenal.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Leicester here. I just won't pick Arsenal. So I'm going to say... It's tough. I'm going to say 2-1 to Leicester.
Yeah, obviously, everyone struggled against Leicester, I should say, last season. No one struggled against Arsenal. But I think Leicester is going to be like a wounded beast after this. Hopefully, it'll be like a sleeping giant getting woken up. And I think Arsenal is going to treat them like how they were treated last season, like a bit of a smaller fish. I feel like they're going to want to prove themselves after losing to Liverpool, and I feel like that's going to be their downfall. I think they're going to want to take control of the game, but that's not what you do against Leicester. You know, you kind of have to hold back, let them have the ball, and then counter on them. Arsenal's full of pace, full of really fast players, you know, between Sanchez and Walcott, and Oxlade-Chamberlain, you've got all kinds of pace. But I could see Leicester catching them on the break a couple times and Vardy getting a couple of easy goals, and a 2-1 victory for Leicester City sounds pretty good to me as well.
Wait.
Now, Sunday, we have two games, kind of lower prestige games, but we're going to go ahead and talk about them anyways. You have Sunderland at home to Middlesbrough.
Yeah, Sunderland haven't re-signed Josie Altidore, so I'm going to say 1-0 to Middlesbrough.
Yeah, I think Middlesbrough could do pretty well here as well. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win for Middlesbrough. And for the last game of the week, West Ham with their first home game in the Premier League, and it's going to be against Bournemouth. I feel like it's going to be a pretty good fixture for them. Hopefully, Demi Payet will be able to start. Saw some minutes against Chelsea, but hopefully he'll get the full 90 against Bournemouth. And I can see a pretty solid 3-1 win for West Ham.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, we know the atmosphere is going to be crazy. I'm going to say 2-0.
All right, guys. Well, I know this one was a bit of a short one, but I am going to plug something very big. You guys should definitely listen to Digital Deluxe this week because we're going to be covering everything FIFA 17 pretty much the whole time. We're going to go through all the new features, discuss everything new to do with the new edition of our favorite game series. And yeah, it should be great. Lex and I will be going through it all, through from the new pack animations to the new foot champions mode to everything. But thanks for listening today, guys. Go ahead and find John at where?
You guys can find me over on Twitter, XITZ_J0HN. X. You guys can follow me on Twitch. It's exactly the same. Brand new, actually. You guys can follow me on Beam as well. Brand new live streaming platform that Microsoft just bought. That is beam.pro/J0HN. You guys can email me at john@titlerace.com, and I will see you guys next week.
And you guys can find me at colinmemaybe_ on Twitter. You can email me at colin@titlerace.com. Also, make sure you follow Title Race at @title_race on Twitter. Always check out the website, www.titlerace.com. Make sure you do check out the tournament page as well. That's going to be /tournament on Title Race. Go ahead and check out the FIFA 17, or FIFA 16, I should say, tournament we are running. Also, keep your eyes out. We'll be running a FIFA 17 tournament upon launch, most likely. A lot of coverage coming out of Title Race for that as well. And also check out a couple of new series that have come out on the Title Race YouTube channel. We've been trying to plug that a lot as well. You're going to have the Fantasy Forfeits, so you guys will be able to see our fantasy teams and how we've actually been competing. Lowest finishing player actually has to do a forfeit every week. And then check out the new Pro Club series that'll be coming out very, very soon. A lot of banter, a lot of fun with that as well. So thanks for stopping by, guys, and we'll see you for episode 16 next week.
Bye.